I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
That's why it's been so difficult over the past 4 years when even the US government has pushed for censorship. By going after us and other American companies, it has emboldened other governments to go even further. But now we have the opportunity to restore free expression, and I am excited to take it.
The company admitting that they were pressured into it over the last 4 years under the Biden administration. Fox News contributor Jonathan Turley joins us now.
We all love a redemptive sinner. It's just that it would be great if that occurred before you were caught. And we have a great deal of information now that does not really support the argument by Zuckerberg that they were unwilling partners forced into this by the Biden administration. They resisted calls from many of us for years. To join Elon Musk, to reveal, for example, the Facebook files, which they resisted. They fought at every stage not to be transparent, and that finally collapsed. Now, that criticism aside, this is an important moment. You know, Musk has been out there taking these slings and arrows throughout this process. As the only social media company that went in all, you know, went full in on free speech. Zuckerberg would be a powerful ally. It would be a wonderful change. You know, Facebook funded a really creepy campaign years ago, trying to get young people to embrace what they call content moderation, what some of us call censorship. And it really failed in a spectacular fashion.
And I'm glad it did. But if it had not been for Trump being elected, would Zuckerberg come forward and say, we're looking forward to being more open and transparent, and we will stop fact-checking, and we will allow more free expression? That clip, as we began with Mark Zuckerberg saying, we're looking forward. We're looking forward to a brand new day where we're more open and part of the community. Whereas before, they were stormtroopers. If you put anything on your Facebook account that they did not like, that they figured was contrary to what they thought you should be thinking, you were put in Facebook jail, correct? Or you had your account canceled. YouTube still does the same thing. The Meta Corporation has Facebook, Instagram, and also Threads. And supposedly all of them now are going to take a different approach, a more common sense, and a more freedom of expression, First Amendment approach. Or will they? Thanks for joining us. Here we are, hour number two of Larry Connors USA, January 7, 2025. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program as we go through it. You do it by going to Newstalk STL, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, or Larry Connors USA, Rumble, and Facebook. And everything later goes up as a podcast, video, and audio. Please bear with me. I'm trying to get past a little sore throat here, but I'm bound determined to make it through the rest of this hour. It might not be pretty, but we'll do it. But I do thank you for your support. I know many of you out there are suffering similar ailments, so it's nothing for me to cry about. It's just the fact that I can't do the job as effectively as I want for you, but we're certainly going to put information in front of you. So Mark Zuckerberg announcing major changes and admitting that they're going to replace their fact checkers and replace them with community notes similar to X, at least in the U.S. That means that you could put up something that maybe you took ivermectin and it cured up your COVID and 30 other diseases. Now, I don't know if you're doing it correctly and stating it, or if you're amplifying it, exaggerating, or flat out lying. But it's not my place to tell you you can't say it, nor was it Facebook's place to say it cannot be on this platform. It's a lie, because they don't really know. And in many cases, it probably wasn't a lie. It just did not fit their standards. And Zuckerberg has admitted, and evidence has come out, that they basically were beholden to the White House. The White House had a direct liaison between them, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, saying, hey, you know, we don't like what that person is saying. You need to get them off the platform or change them or block them. And they would do it. And he's even admitted, yeah, we did. I regret now we did. Where did you think in your mind it was okay for the federal government to tell you how to run your operation when it came to free speech? There's nowhere in his mind he got to that point. And the only reason he's got where he is now, back to Jonathan Turley, a lawyer and, of course, a correspondent or an analyst for Fox News, it is the Trump victory that changed everything.
What if Trump wasn't elected? What if this was the Harris administration? I wrote a column earlier that the Biden administration was the most anti-free speech administration since John Adams. But Kamala Harris promised to outdo that. Mm-hmm. And you really wonder, hearing that interview, what they would have done if, in fact, the election came out differently. The public spoke very loudly. And so that's the reason I'm hoping, regardless of the motivation, regardless of the fact that it's belated, we need help. This is the largest anti-free speech movement in the history of our country. I talk about that in the book. It's sweeping over Europe. Free speech is collapsing in Europe. This is going to be the line of defense for free speech. We're it. We stop it here or it doesn't get stopped.
And that's going to be very interesting as to how Facebook and YouTube and others are going to respond in Europe. What Zuckerberg is talking about, that we're going to stop the fact check system, the third party fact check system, which is notorious for its leftist bias. We're going to put a stop to it in the U.S. That doesn't mean that it's going to go elsewhere. Because if you're allowing a platform inside your country, those in some of these countries where they might be trying to shut them down or quiet them, as long as they have access to the platform, they're going to see what's being said in the U.S. What country would not want you to know what another country is doing? That would be a dictator. They will not allow Facebook in its existing form into China unless they control it fully. What they present their children on TikTok is not what you get with your children on TikTok in the U.S. But Zuckerberg's staff, his global affairs officer, stated, and I'm going to read this, as well-intentioned as many of these efforts have been, talking about the fact that they were responding to society and political pressure to shut people down, he said, as well-intentioned as many of these efforts have been, they have expanded over time to the point where we are making too many mistakes, frustrating our users, too often getting in the way of the free expression we set out to enable. Too much harmless content gets censored. Too many people find themselves wrongly locked up in Facebook jail. And we are often too slow to respond when they do. So they're going to review content around hot-button issues such as immigration and gender, refocus automated moderation systems on high-severity violations, and the company will rely more on users to report other violations. When they came up with their fact checkers, it quickly became apparent to be a fact checker, you didn't have to be anything but left of center. You could be a fact checker. You had to have no qualifications. It's not clear if they're going to continue paying for folks to do that. But this means that right now, you and other conservatives or liberals or independents, you're responsible for fact-checking and putting your community note on anything you see that you disagree with. That is freedom of speech and expression. That's a good thing for our nation moving forward. The other good thing is that we will have an effort to go back to more energy independence, except as you listen to Peter Ducey, Joe Biden is once again trying to derail the Trump train.
What we're seeing is President Biden, the current president, throwing a bunch of legacy items at the wall to see what sticks. This time he is trying to make oil drilling harder in ways that could be kind of complicated to unban.
So let's be clear here. The area President Biden is protecting has a relatively minimal fossil fuel potential in the areas and do not justify the environmental, public health, and economic risks that would come from new leasing drilling.
We've got a map of the areas that Biden is banning drilling, but these new bans may be super short-lived. In 2 weeks, President Trump will have two options. The first is to get Congress to act and change the law. And then the second is to issue his own executive order and then just wait for this all to play out in court. Some way, he says, he's going to make it happen.
It's ridiculous. I'll unban it immediately. I will unban it. I have the right to unban it immediately. What's he doing? Why is he doing it? We have oil and gas at a level that nobody else has, and we're going to take advantage of it. And when I see somebody saying he's going to ban 625 million acres, he doesn't know what that is. He doesn't even know what 625 million acres would look like.
No, he doesn't. But it is basically our outer shelf of our continent. And the White House and those who are against this drilling do not understand drilling companies will not be drilling where they do not think there's any oil or gas. They're just not going to spend money for a dry hole. And they're saying, no, we need to protect these areas. Well, of course we want to protect them. But an outright drilling on that, a block on it. And then we have the issue of closing the border, Speaker Johnson.
In this Congress, we'll renounce the status quo and we will listen to the voices of the people. We will act quickly and we will start by defending our nation's borders. That's the number one priority. Yes. In coordination with President Trump, this Congress will give our border and immigration enforcement agents the resources that they need to do their job. We will secure the border. We will deport dangerous, criminal, illegal aliens, and finally finish building the border wall.
And there's another thing we want to do that they've been talking about, and that is a lot of federal employees have not even been going to their office ever since COVID. They've been basically phoning it in, assuming they were doing that, and they want to continue to work remotely. We have a lot of office space we're paying for with federal tax dollars in D.C. that could be freed up. And more importantly, we could take a lot of these employees and put them elsewhere across the nation. And to that extent, that is part of the plan, as you hear from Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller.
Donald Trump, again, he announced that federal workers are going to go back to the office because they work for you. Everyone watching us at home tonight, they work for you. Those federal workers, you pay their salaries. They need to show up at an office. And again, Donald Trump's going to rip up those agreements that allows those workers to work from home, although we all know what the federal workers are really doing is just absolutely nothing, nothing at best. At worst, they're working against you and your family and your security. And he's going to say that you have to get back into the office. And he's also going to say that workers who've betrayed the trust of the American people are going to be fired. And in cases where they violated the rights and liberties of the American people, they're going to face accountability. They are going to face justice. We are going to restore representative government and democracy in this country.
As we should. And the other issue that's going to be dismantled, the woke culture. South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace is fighting inside the Capitol because a transgender was elected and wants to use the women's restrooms.
I just want to add that the congresswoman-elect does identify as a woman. I will be...
She's not a woman. It's a man. She was born a man. She's a man. She's biologically a male. That is science. You guys on the left in the mainstream media want to say, follow the science. Well, let's follow the science, okay? He is a man. He can wear a dress. He can call himself. His pronouns can be she or her. But he doesn't belong in a women's restroom, period.
Are you suggesting that the representative-elect McBride poses some kind of danger to you and other women?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. This is an assault on women. A man being a biological man, a man with a penis, male genitalia, being in a women's locker room is an assault on women. And so the question is, do I have rights as a woman or not? And I'm not going to allow the media or Congress to strip away women's rights for 0.5% of people out there. That more than likely he's got a mental illness, and this is why he's doing this. He should not be forcing his private parts into women's private spaces. I'm absolutely a no hard pass on this, and I'm going to fight it every step of the way.
Absolutely. Fight it every step of the way. And she also took time to outline all the criminal activities committed against Americans by illegals.
Biden-Harris criminal illegal aliens have molested American children, battered and bruised American spouses, and violently raped American women and girls. In April 2022, an illegal alien was arrested in my home state of South Carolina for sexually abusing an 11-year-old girl after being previously deported not once, but twice. In May 2022, an illegal alien in Guatemalan National raped and impregnated a 9-year-old girl in Ohio. In April 2023, an illegal alien broke into a woman's house in Indiana in the middle of the night, physically assaulted her, and held a box cutter to her throat while he raped her.
Anyone in that group that you want in your neighborhood? That is why we're going to expedite removing illegals, especially those who have already committed crimes and that are currently in cells. They should go immediately. Coming up, a lot of folks have always thought fluoride in our water was a good idea. There were concerns in the beginning, and now there's a new concern that it might actually be affecting your child's IQ. We'll take a closer look at that with my guest, Dr. James Thorpe. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on. There's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. One of the greatest pleasures in life is giving. Giving something special to someone just because. Vincent's Jewelers can help you, and you should know that Vincent's has helped raise almost $2 million for local charities. Vincent's Jewelers, St. Louis's premier, full-service, locally owned jewelry store. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day for new items. vincentsjewelers.com, my only jeweler, vincentsjewelers.com. I want you to know that Meguiar Moving and Storage is silver certified, which means Meguiar has a quality reputation helping older adults move local or long distance. And something else to know, Josh McGuire, president of McGuire Moving and Storage, is the only certified moving consultant in Missouri. I'll tell you, once you met Josh, you're going to know your move will be easy. And I fully endorse McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, smokestack lightning, shining just like gold. Why don't you hear me cry? Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We're in the process of trying to establish our link with Dr. Thorpe. We might have a wrong number or something's gone wrong, but we'll continue to work on it. But let me set the stage for you very quickly. When the fluoride was being introduced in the water originally, we're talking about late 40s, early 50s, there was a concern immediately that maybe it might cause cancer and things of that nature. But more recently, there's been research on, does fluoride possibly affect the IQ of children? This latest report is a 9-year research study that appeared in the pediatrics journal, JAMA. Now, again, this is not to say this is fact that you need to be worried about it, that you need to stop drinking water that might be fluoridated any more than you should stop drinking milk that's pasteurized. But the issue is you need to know what some of the latest studies show. And you can take it for what you want, and you need, if you have any doubt, talk to your doctor, your pediatrician. This is a review in the JAMA Report of Pediatrics, conducted by scientists at the government's National Toxicology Program. Now, we all know right now we have a lot of doubts and concerns about what we get from our government when it comes to any medical information or nonsense. But I'm giving you the source so you can double-check it yourself. The government's National Toxicology Program evaluates chemicals and other things you're exposed to. This even includes cell phone radiation. And we'd heard that for some time, that if you're holding a cell phone next to your ear all the time, you might be exposing yourself to some additional radiation. That's why many people began to use earbuds, things of that nature. And as to how far and how deep any evaluation goes for cell phone radiation, that's still under study. But in 2015, they began a review regarding fluoride to protect children, especially their intellectual development. After 9 years, they found that on their study, that even while it was evidence that there was some effect, it might not be enough to be concerned about. And I want to stress that part of it. We're not able to reach Dr. Thorpe, or we'd get it more detailed from him on it. But I can share with you what has been put out by a federal judge ruling that the EPA should regulate fluoride to protect children and their intellectual development. U.S. District Judge wrote, simply put, the risk to health at exposure levels in the U.S. drinking water is sufficiently higher to trigger regulatory response by the EPA. Now, with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. coming aboard the Trump administration, his pick for U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary, he's already called fluoride an industrial waste. He's been very firm about that. RFK Jr. has insisted he's not an anti-vaxxer, I haven't seen him ever say that I'm anti-fluoride. But if he's listing fluoride in his opinion, an industrial waste, he's got concerns. And he is pledging that the Trump administration would use or should use utilities to avoid using it, or I should say avoid using it as it's presented in the current studies. This survey, again, over 9 years, was an issue that fell short of defining anything that is direct, except that it was affecting the children's understanding or IQ level as they advance at different levels. The CDC continues to insist water fluoridation is one of the 10 greatest public health achievements of the 21st century. And one of those backing it up said, I think we need to pause, we need to review the evidence, rather than just stick our head in the sand on this issue. Environmental health experts are saying that the health agencies need to be reassessing the need of using fluoride in your water, again, because they're concerned of that it might cause damage to children and their learning ability and maybe elsewhere. Now, fluoride has been very big about helping prevent tooth decay and things of that nature as well, and maybe prevent different illnesses coming through your tap water. Growing up, I remember times when out with my grandfather, when we're rounding up cattle for the day, there was a well that we would draw water from. What we would take is just a large bucket on a rope, drop it down, I don't know how deep the well was, pull it out, drink straight from that tin cup, basically. I have no idea what was in that water. It was sweet and cool, but probably the mineral content was above a safety factor that we probably have nowadays. But it certainly had no fluoride in it. I recall also in the West Texas area, the water was so bad in some areas, and I believe much of this occurred before fluoride was introduced, that many of the children would end up with stained teeth. It would look like someone who's been 65 or older drinking coffee all their life or smoking. Fluoride apparently took care of that issue, and apparently has still been doing its job in preventing some diseases. But when they start looking at the effect upon mental ability and IQ, there's where now some of them are beginning to raise concern. In one statement, the scientists admit we don't have enough data to determine whether the level of fluoride that's recommended for drinking water does affect children's IQ. And yet at the same time, they have put in their own report, it could affect your child's IQ by anywhere from 1.5 to maybe 3 points. That might not sound like a lot, but over a period of time. And the new review includes 74 studies, 10 countries. Now, here's a key. Most of these studies, 45 of the 74 I told you about, came from China. Researchers first noticed differences in intelligence between communities exposed to high fluoride levels and those that were not. They start picking apart the methods of each study, the age of the children, how they were tested. Was it exactly the same, or was some bias built in? And some of the strongest studies from Canada and Mexico also looked at measures of fluoride in the urine of pregnant women and then tested the IQ of their children several years later. And they came up with data in three different analyses. One included 21,000 children, 59 studies, children with the highest and lowest fluoride exposures. Children with the highest level exposure scored about 7 points lower on their IQ test compared to those with the lowest amount of fluoride. Other studies found anywhere from 1.5 to 2 point drop. The final analysis, when they put them all together, supposedly found that fluoride in the water could lead to almost to a 2 point drop in IQ. The reason I bring that up is because as Robert F. Kennedy Jr. comes in, pushing the agenda to make America healthy again, it appears that fluoride is going to be at the top of his list. You will then need to start deciding if you're buying and using distilled water or treated water, fluoride-free water. That will be you and your family. Coming up, a warning that was sent out some time ago about terrorists, and it certainly has become prophetic and true. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Question: are you looking to unlock the full potential of artificial intelligence for your business? I want you to meet my friends at PRI Global, named by the St. Louis Business Journal as a leading IT consulting firm. 25 years helping local and worldwide companies. PRI Global has a free survey to determine where your company stands in your AI journey. You simply go to priglobal.ai, priglobal.ai. And I also have a phone number, so get ready to copy that number. And I'll remind you that PRI Global has its own AI lab, creating, adapting, developing, pushing the boundaries for what AI can do for you. Here's the number, 636-689-0545, 636-689-0545, or visit priglobal.ai, priglobal.ai. Here's great news. Napoli Kirkwood is now open, so that means fine dining right in the heart of Kirkwood. So you have the original Cafe Napoli in downtown Clayton, Napoli 2, Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, plus Napoli Brothers Pasta and Pizza in the Chesterfield Valley. All of those locations, and now adding Napoli Kirkwood. What a great place to dine. Napoli Kirkwood, now open. Renewal by Anderson sponsoring this hour of Larry Connors USA. And let's be honest, most window companies are pushing cheap vinyl windows, adding bells and whistles to make them sound great, but Renewal windows are twice as strong. You do not want to go cheap when you can go with quality and get the nation's best warranty. Check the website, rbastl.com, or dial #250, #250, and say windows.
This is News Talk STL.
Jesse got trapped in a coal mine, digging in the dark black pearl. Jesse got trapped in a coal mine, never did marry his girl. There ain't nowhere and there ain't no light, and there ain't nowhere to make it out alive. His wedding was planned for the 5th of July, but Jesse got trapped in a coal mine and never did marry his girl.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And let me say this in English so you can understand what I'm saying. I have translation.
No, I know you have translation, but I just want to make sure you get it right. There will come a day that we will see far more radical extremists and terrorists coming out of Europe because of lack of decision-making, trying to be politically correct, or assuming that they know the Middle East and they know Islam and they know the others far better than we do. And I'm sorry, but that's pure ignorance.
Not only pure ignorance, but opening your country up to terrorist activities on a regular, routine basis, of which you have not seen the likes before. That was the former minister for the United Arab Emirates. I should say current foreign minister, United Arab Emirates. He actually issued that warning 7 years ago when he was foreign minister. He was recognizing what is happening at that time across Europe. And what we're now seeing is certainly true. They opened their doors, if you recall, to mass migration. Germany said, let them all in. Anybody wants to come in can come in. France did the same. England did for a while and then decided, we can't take any more. Belgium, other countries were accepting them for a period of time and then realizing what we're getting is not families, we're getting military-age young men, maybe gangs, which is what we've been seeing crossing our border more and more lately. And believe me, they're all trying to get across the border before Trump takes office. And Biden is doing nothing to shut them down at this point. They're yapping, well, we had a plan, we had a bipartisan plan, everybody would have worked together. Well, he's not doing it, but the administration and Kamala, they're all saying, we could have shut this all down. No, they were not going to shut it down. They ran on a full progressive policy, let anyone into the country that wants to come in. Unvetted for their purpose and intent. Not checked for any health diseases they might be carrying from some third world into our nation. And there you had the United Arab Emirates Prime Minister 7 years ago warning us and the rest of the Western world, you will regret this if you let these people in. They will not be coming to assimilate and be part of your country. They'll be coming to take it over. There was video just this last weekend in London, a parade that I saw, and by just looking at the video, I would say there had to be 800-plus Muslims, women dressed in hijabs, walking down the street, chanting. This is what London has come to. And it was pointing it out that Londoners feel now they are outnumbered in their own country. You welcome immigrants, you welcome legal immigrants, but you don't welcome them to come in and take over. You want to put it down in the very barest understanding? You're leasing a room in your house to a college student. You pick up some extra money. They get room and boarded much cheaper than trying to rent somewhere else or on the campus. But then gradually they start bringing another person in, so now two are going to be in the bedroom. Then maybe they're bringing five or four more. And then they're beginning to hold parties, and they're taking over your kitchen. And then they're taking over the living room. And pretty soon, you're outnumbered in your own house. You still own the house, technically, but you don't control it. That happened in England, as I said, just this last weekend. In Germany, over the Christmas season, there were mass Muslim demonstrations against Christians. If you're a Muslim, and I have several Muslim friends, I don't want you intruding and interrupting a Christmas service, nor would you want me interrupting one of your religious services. I wouldn't do that, and my Muslim friends wouldn't be doing that to Christian services. But the radical groups within inside of each of these will continue to push as far and as deep as they can, thinking all we have to do is get control. And we have enough people turning around and agreeing that, well, they have a right to be here because you let them in. This is how a nation loses its identity. Most of the Norwegian nations are acknowledging we're not going to do that. And those who've already done it, they're realizing we've gone too far. We need to put stops in place. This nation, if it had continued for another 4 years with the open border policy of Biden, Harris, and the progressives, you would not recognize this nation in 4 years. We truly would have lost it. But do not take for a moment that you can ease up and not be concerned moving forward. The progressives among us still exist. They may recognize, well, we may have to change tactics. We may not be able to push transgender surgery in front of children in grade school. But we will continue to push every button we can to radicalize and destroy the America as you know it. I mentioned in the last hour, Governor Newsom is now claiming that his state has a budget surplus next year. California stretched out as thin as it is, all the homeless, and you have a budget surplus. He said he planned to raid the rainy day emergency fund because of Donald Trump's spending cuts. Last year, he came under in criticism. There had been a $100 billion surplus in California, $100 billion surplus, thanks in part to the coronavirus relief money from the Biden-Harris administration. They took that $100 billion surplus and turned it into a $50 billion deficit. That's a $150 billion swing. And now he's warning California residents, our surplus that we do have could be in danger because of Ilhan and Vivek's efforts to trim trillions in federal waste. Well, wait a minute. You're trimming federal waste. That should not affect you. You should be thankful. San Francisco Chronicle puts it this way. The budget outlook Newsom describes is a major turnaround from the $47 billion deficit last year and the $32 billion shortfall the year before. So now they're making budget projections, both attributing the improvement to stock market gains from the state's wealthiest taxpayers and cuts in recent years. You know why the stock market will be going up? You know why taxpayers will be paying more taxes? Because they're making more. But still, according to the LA Times, Newsom is planning to take $7 billion from the rainy day fund, which is intended for emergencies and not for years of fiscal in health illnesses. He said, I plan to draw $7 billion from our rainy day reserves in the upcoming budget year, and all part of an agreement made last year with California lawmakers to also delay programs, cut spending, and rely on an occasional accounting gimmick to solve a $46 billion deficit. budget includes a $420 million tax break for Hollywood, $25 million to pay for the legal fees of illegals who want to fight deportation. California residents, you're paying for all of this. What are you going to get out of it? A state overrun by illegals, and a state that is, again, going to be in trouble, and there will be no rainy day fund. Canada has been dealing with its own issues as well. The inflation, the cost of living in all levels, lack of jobs, and what Prime Minister Trudeau has been doing to basically destroy his country, where his own people are now shouting, "You're destroying our nation." Well, Trudeau finally stepped up and admitted, "I've got to make a change here."
Every morning I've woken up as Prime Minister, I've been inspired by the resilience, the generosity, and the determination of Canadians. It is the driving force of every single day I have the privilege of serving in this office. That is why, since 2015, I've fought for this country, for you, to strengthen and grow the middle class. Why we rallied to support each other through the pandemic, to advance reconciliation, to defend free trade on this continent, to stand strong with Ukraine and our democracy, and to fight climate change and get our economy ready for the future. We are at a critical moment in the world.
You are, and they want you off stage. They'll be holding elections probably as early as March in Canada. Trudeau will not be in the running. As many Canadians believe already, he ran their country into the ground. Liberal policies, progressive policies, echoing what he was seeing happen in the U.S. And now Canadians are saying, we want to be like the U.S. Maybe not become the 51st state, as Trump suggested, jokingly, to some extent, but we will go back to defending our nation. If I were to ask you, what do you think is the number one podcast in the world, or at least in the nation, but certainly the world, we could do that as well, many might jump in and say, Joe Rogan, got to be Joe Rogan. Well, that would have been true, but it now is not Joe Rogan, nor Alex Cooper, Mel Robbins, the Kelsey clan. It belongs to Father Mark Mary Ames of Ascension Press, or as he said, it belongs to God. It is called The Rosary in a Year. It climbed to number one on Apple Podcasts starting this year, and holding that spot for three consecutive days before dropping down to number two. But it's right there. Father Mark Mary Ames said that we wanted to have more inspiration, fellowship, mixed with entertainment, and push people to a more virtuous life. He was born and raised in Orange County, California. So see, things can come out of California that are good. He admits grew up in a wealthy family. But then he got inspired by Mother Teresa and saw what she was doing. And he said, then I heard there's a group of Franciscans in New York, hardcore, they sleep on the ground. I looked them up, I read our constitutions, which are what they say we're about, and I'm like, if that's true, that's everything I'm looking for. So at that time, I was just a normal kid on a normal path. Then God just kind of made this happen. He said, I've now made clear to give my life to the poorest of the poor and share the deep experience of my life and what God has done in generosity for me. So there's nothing I've left behind or sacrificed that has not been repaid 100-fold. Bible sales are suddenly spiking. Many are subscribing to the rosary in a year. The podcast itself. It does have music, keynote speakers, but also praising God and what he can do for you in your personal life, your family, your business, your nation. Rosary in a year. Again, I remind you of our pledge, one nation under God.